Good evening. Did you have a good day today? Brother's honest. Not really. For those of you that said yes, what made it good? I hope there's some better answers than that. What made it good? Amen. Isn't that pretty easy to dictate whether we had a good or a bad day based upon circumstances? The question is, should it? I'm guilty of that as well. But once again, have some familiar faces with us. In the back is my father-in-law and mother-in-law, Dave and Mary Lou. Mary Lou and Luetta are sisters. That's a connection there. Also, my brother Matt and Beth and their family are here this evening. Appreciate them being here. Well, I had a good day today because I accomplished a goal, okay? Remember yesterday I said, last night when I said I wanted to close earlier than I did the night before? It was brought to my attention that I accomplished that by 5 seconds. So I do, it is my goal to speak often and fast this evening. So the first night we talked about revival, as our brother mentioned this evening. Revival, what does it look like, how do we see a need for revival? And then once revival has came, what does it look like, right? And then last night we talked about the Word of God and its surety, and it's a sure roadmap. It's a sure roadmap to get where we want to go, right? The Bible can be trusted. Amen? The Bible can be trusted. You know, just talking about the power of God's Word, I find it interesting here. Just recently, I was talking to two young men coming from a conservative Mennonite church. And the fruits that were coming from them, I suspected that they were not saved. And so I asked them, I said, are you born again? And the one looked down and kind of mumbled. And it was just a spirit of disrespect from top to bottom. And I said, are you born again? And he looked down and just kind of mumbled. And I said, hey, listen, buddy. I said, you need to speak up. I can't hear you. Are you born again? And he said, he looked at me and he says, well, yes, I was baptized in such and such a church. And I said, I don't even care. Are you saved? Are you saved? Anyway, he was critical of a pastor that he had just heard because he wasn't exciting enough. And I said, what makes an exciting pastor? He said, ones that stand up there and they jump around behind the pulpit. I've been fairly boring thus far. But it made me think of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He was pivotal in the Great Awakening, right? And there's varying reports of his style of preaching, but it's commonly known as he was a very laid-back pastor, to the point that some report that he spoke in a monotone voice and he read his messages, right? Well, one Sunday, one service, I don't know if it was a Sunday or not, he was preaching to a group of people. He wasn't a traveling evangelist per se. He reportedly preached typically just to his home congregation. And one Sunday he went to a place where revival was hard to come by. He was preaching away from home and he preached a message that he preached before. And the title of the message was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You're probably familiar with that, right? And as the story goes, once again, there's varying accounts, but one account is as he preached, the Holy Spirit of God visited those people. To the point, as he read God's word, you know, he wasn't jumping around behind the pulpit because he didn't do that, right? But as he read God's word, possibly in a monotone voice, the congregation screamed in terror and tried holding on to pillars because they thought they were sliding into hell. That's the power of God's word that I was talking about last evening. We don't need better speakers. We need speakers. We need preachers. Dana and the rest of your team, right? We need preachers that preach God's word, that preach the truth. We need preachers that devote their preaching to preach the truth. Rather, we need hearts that when the truth is preached, it falls on fertile soil and it takes root. Anyway, so that's what we talked about last night. Before I go on, someone had a question about something I shared last night, and I was glad that they did. If one person had a question, it's possible that more did. And so I wanted to further explain on what I said, right? Do y'all remember me talking about Keith Daniels when he was spending time with the Lord? He rebuked his children for coming and interrupting him. The question was that sounded kind of harsh, right? So I want to further explain that a little bit. The idea was that it's not that he didn't care for his children, but he protected his time with the Lord. Because you see, if daddy is right with God, right, probably the rest of his life will be. And he's caring for his children. And my understanding is that he has a very good relationship with his children to this day. But the idea was protecting my time with the Lord. In the Bible, it says that we are to put God number one, right? And that's before children. That's before spouse. That's before, obviously, all other material things. God is number one. I just wanted to clear that up. It's a beautiful platform to do that on if there's a question. I'm not at all advocating that dads are these harsh, cruel creatures, right? But it's interesting because God led me to share this evening on godly order. Godly order. Now that would seem, it actually seemed kind of strange for me even that it would be a revival meeting message, right? But it's an area that I, in observing and in experiencing the culture today, I most certainly think it's an area that we need revival in, is the godly order. You know, some questions that we can ask is godly order important? Is it important? You know, something that I see that is being lost today, and if you don't see it, you have to be the most undiscerning person, right? Because it's all around us, is the lack of authority. Am I the only one that sees that today? Lack of authority. Do you see lack of authority in young people? Not just in young people. I'm not going to pile it on the children tonight, because you know what? Lack of authority is not the child's fault. Amen. Lack of authority is not the child's fault. But it's been waning for long enough that now we start seeing it in churches and adults, not just in churches, but in the streets. But it should be certainly not something that we see in churches, is lack, this lack of a sense of authority. There's no authority, right? You can't tell me what to do. You're not my dad. That kind of disrespect. Is it hard for you to operate in the order that God has set up? Men and women. If so, why? Have you identified the reason? Listen, brothers and sisters, I believe in addressing the elephant in the room. Kind of just, let's just talk about it, right? So don't let this be a subject that sucks all the oxygen out of the room. We're just here to look at what God's word says about the order that he has put in place in our lives. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's going to be my text this evening. And I'm not going to ask you to stand, because you'd be standing for a while, because I'd like to work down through here without reading the entire text like I have the two previous evenings. I thought I had this studied, and This morning, God asked me to start with a blank sheet of paper and start all over. So if I seem a bit scattered, that's why. But I want to talk about godly order. What does the Bible say about order? What is the reason? Was it just something that just happenstance that God's like, hey, you know, let's just put this together, right? Or is there actually a reason? We'd like to look at things today that the world has integrated even into the church that has eroded God's authority structure in our homes, in churches, in government, everywhere. Typically I don't start with the wives because I address the leaders first, but I'm going to take this chapter just as it comes and the wives' admonishment, I guess, or encouragement was first. So in Ephesians 5, chapter 21, we want to look at verses 22 through 24, but I'm going to start in 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I should have done this before I read those verses, but can we all agree? I've asked this several times. It's because it's important to me. Can we all agree that the Bible is true, correct? The Bible can be trusted. Amen. The Bible can be trusted. So this is not my ideas. I'm reading in Ephesians, right? And the first thing I'd like to point out here is the word submit. Now, in today's society, if you want to go out in public and you want to swear at someone, you tell them to submit, right? It's not a lovely term. The world has made words like submit and housewife and keepers at home nasty words, degrading words. They've made them into the point that if you're just a housewife, ladies, how many of you, someone that, so where do you work? And you're like, I'm a keeper at home. Oh, have you experienced that? I think most people have, to the point that in, once again, a conservative Mennonite church, one lady told another sister from church that, and the lady said, oh, wow, don't you feel bad about wasting all of your talents? That frustrates me because that was God's design. A housewife and a keeper at home is not something that you should be ashamed of. But rather, it's something that you should lift your head high because it's a calling. It's a calling. It's throughout all of Scripture that our wives, I'm going to inject this, right? I don't know you all, so I can just speak honestly and openly. And it's such a blessing. It is. But our wives, it says in Titus, and we're going to look at that scripture here in just a little bit, but it says in, I'm just going to go there right now. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I'm going to stop right there. That they teach the young women. Does it say the young mothers? It doesn't say the young mothers, brothers and sisters. It says the young women. But because of what I've just previously talked about, we have adopted the idea that until I have children, I'm going to go get a job. Right? Until I have children, I'm going to go get a job. Once I'm a mom, I'm going to stay at home. But you see, what's happening is it's not stopping there. Because now we have, when I say we, I'm talking about in our circles. We have young mothers that are letting grandma watch their children while they go to work. And I'm here to tell you, based upon my knowledge of the scripture, that is not right. That is not right with what the Bible teaches. And I believe if we want to get back to godly homes, that is an area that needs to stop. It was once told me that if it takes two incomes to support your family, then you have too high of standards. And while it was told me that, I actually believe that. I believe that God is faithful. Yes, you might not be able to have a brand new house or a brand new boat or the vehicles that you drive. But I'll tell you what you will have. There is a blessing as a husband when I come home. Well, I work from home. When I'm at home and let's say I'm gone and I come home and my wife is standing in the kitchen. Man, there's just something right about that. There's just something right about that. You see, I talked about it being complicated last night. One of the complicated things is when the wife is working and the husband's working, who does the housework? Well, it's not fair for her when she comes home that she cleans the house. You know why it's complicated? Because it's messed up. Because it's messed up. And we are starting, one of the things, well, let me finish reading this passage. In verse 5, Titus 2, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's the other reference that I wanted to make here. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying that if it's not the way that the scripture pointed here, that God's word is being blasphemed. Is that the conclusion you came to? That's what I've just read. And I do believe that God's word is being his plan, his what he had in mind for our homes is being blasphemed because we give a listening ear to the world. Very quickly, I might not get through all the scripture that I had on this subject, but very quickly, what has caused this? Well, I will tell you one of the big, huge driving forces behind this, and it's called the feminist movement. It's called the feminist movement that they're the ones that said, don't let your husband tell you that you need to stay at home. Right? Don't. We're equal. We do have something that we can agree on. Husband and wife are equal in the sight of God. Amen. They're of equal value, but they have very different responsibilities. And when those start getting messed up and when those start getting turned around, you go out and you watch the news. Is there chaos out there? There is utter and totally chaos out there today because God's order is messed up. Moving on in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, I'm just going to read it. Forget the clock for a minute here. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Do you know how hard it is to teach a 7-year-old daughter that you don't need earrings or a necklace or makeup or short skirts to be beautiful today? Because what happens? Once again, just 15 paces behind the world, right? That's what we're doing. What do you see in churches today? I'll tell you what I see. I see these modified bracelets, right? Well, they say something about Jesus on them, so they must be okay, right? I see painted fingernails and painted toenails. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I think it's time that we wake up in following the world's traditions and following the world's direction. What are we telling God? That he messed up? That we need to fix something that he created? Lord, you needed a little help. That's why I have the mascara on. How can we And it's the bigger deal with the young ladies because of the whole beauty thing, right? How can we instill in our young girls that they are beautiful because of who they are and not what they do to themselves? They're beautiful because they're daughters of the King. That's why they're beautiful. Anyway, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. There's that nasty word again. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Brothers and sisters, I believe that there will come a time, maybe not so far away, that if you were to read some of these verses in public, it could be jail time because you are discriminating against the female gender. I mean, I might go to jail for saying the female gender, right? We don't even know what we are today. And it's horrible. It's horrible. Ladies, love being a mom. Love being a wife. Prosper. It just seems like in the last few years, I have seen moms with young children. More moms with young children depressed. Maybe it's because I didn't notice them before. I don't know. But they're depressed. Because they're just not content. They're not finding the joy. Love being a mom. It's amazing. When I watch my wife interact with our children, I say this jokingly. I believe God gave children moms to cuddle them and say, "Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Did that hurt?" Why do children run to mom when they're hurt, right? There's no one better to love on you and to put band-aids on you than mom, right? Maybe he gave them dads to say, "You know what, sweetheart? That's a long way from your heart. You're going to live." It's not that we don't care. But you need a balance, right? You need a balance. Husbands. In verse 25, and I'll tell you what, if you are a husband tonight and this does not bring a soberness to you, these next few verses, I give up, right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. I have a long way to go. In studying this again today, I was convicted. I have a long way to go because you know what this scripture indicates? This scripture indicates that we are to be actively leading our wives, not only physically, but also spiritually. The example given here, and it's Jesus and the church, I understand that, but the example given here is that we constantly look over our wives, that there's no blemish. I'm not talking about physically. It is talking about spiritually, that there's no blemish on their soul and that they're doing well spiritually. It's not one of those things that it's just like, you know what? She has her life and I have mine. Brothers, we have been reduced to beings just mumbling, fumbling, bumbling fools following after our families. That's what many of us proved that definition right. You know, there's a saying one time of a pastor that was declaring to someone of his leadership at his church, and he said, "There goes my church. I must follow them, for I am their leader." How many of us do that in the homes? There goes my family. I have to keep up with them because I'm their leader after all. But it says here that we are to, it would indicate that one day we are going to give an account for our wives if there are blemishes found on her soul. I understand that our wives have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I understand that. But there is a leadership that needs to be happening from the husband to the wife, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Amen? It needs to be happening. When is the last time you checked in on your wife to see how she's doing spiritually? Honey, are you okay? Are you doing well? Sweetheart, that has to go. That has to go. That's not wise. You know, technology has really messed a lot of this up because while they're working around the home or whatever, they can be on their phone. And I'm not talking about trying to keep them in a box, but how can we protect them? And we are to be protecting them spiritually. How can we protect them if we have no idea what they're listening to? My goodness, they could be listening to someone that as a husband, I feel is doctrinally false. Do we even know? Are we that mumbling, bumbling fool following along after them? And I have to keep up with it. Oh, you say, okay, yeah, sweetie, yeah, we'll do that. You know, the roles have been reversed. And I can say with most assuredly, God is not pleased. Because it's not how we were created. There is an order. And there is a reason. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But not only our wives, but our children. Are you teaching them the statutes of God? In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And here he's talking to parents. But throughout the scripture, the responsibility lies at the feet of dad. It's a serious responsibility. You know, I've said this before. Almost any male can be a dad. But many of them don't know how to be a father. Listen to this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. It's our state of being first that must be in order. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. What are our children eating? Do we even know? Dads, what time are we spending with our children? Let me ask you something. When we're gone, when we're away from home 10, 12, 14 hours a day, how can we obey this passage of Scripture? How can we do it? Well, now listen, Brother Mark, we have to make a living. I understand that. But, you know, if we looked at history alone, the downfall of the home. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay? I'm just listen to what I'm saying. The downfall of the home did not come when the moms went out and got jobs. It's when dads started going away for work. That was the first downfall. That was when it all kind of started. Now, it's hard for us to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine, right? Why is that? It's hard for me to imagine because of this thing called the American dream. You know, the American dream is to have this nice house. And I'm blessed, brothers and sisters, I am blessed to live here. I really am. But I think we need to be careful to what is seeping into our churches and our Christian, right? Our Christian cultures. The American dream is a nice house. You know, this long drive, a white picket fence, a good job. Does that not sound to you like eat, drink, and be merry? We need to be careful. So am I saying that we all need to work from home? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is our desire in life should not be those things, but the people within side of our home. Our focus should be doing what Deuteronomy says here. Teach them these things. Every chance that you have, take your children with you. Teach them about the Lord. Children are not a bother. They're a blessing from on high. And one day, Mark Eicher will give an account how he has led those four souls. My wife and my three children. And that's sobering to me. It's not a game. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. And are we ever perishing at a rapid rate today? In Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, think about this. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. My question today, what I would like to draw out of this, my question today is, as dads, what fires are we making our children pass through? What are we allowing them to watch online? What kind of movies are we bringing into the home? What kind of books are they reading? If those are not godly, we are making our children, we are making or allowing them to pass through the fire. I mean, if home is not a safe place, where is? God says, I will not be inquired of you. I believe it's sickening to the sight of God. Brothers, I don't believe that we will be blameless in how we operate our homes. With the order that's presented here, let me ask you something. I've heard this over and over and over again. This comment is made. Well, in our home, we make the decisions 50-50. I'd like to ask you a question. Who is the leader in a 50-50 partnership? Who's the leader? You look as confused as I am. I think we need to be careful. I believe we need to be careful. God has set up an order that is for a reason. And I don't know if you caught one of the reasons in an earlier scripture. The Bible says that Eve was given to Adam, not Adam given to Eve. Right? She was given to Adam, which means when something is given or someone is given to me, I have a responsibility. Men and women typically are made up very differently. I have concluded, and I'll reference this in a verse. Men typically think with their head, right? Women think with their heart, right? There's more emotion. Do you think it was by accident that the serpent approached Eve in the garden? Was she just the first one he came to? I mean, he went out looking for Adam and Eve, and Eve was first, right? Or do you think it was more purposeful than that? I believe it was more purposeful than that. I believe that he had a plan. The first plan was it was outright arrogance on his part to defy the order that God had set up. In verse 14 of 1 Timothy 2, it says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. I'm not laying it all at the woman's feet. I'm not. But I'm just saying that whenever God's order is not followed, deception ensues. You see, submission it's not a bad word. Another word for submission could be called safety. It's safety because it's in God's plan. It's safety. Very quickly, I'd like to address, the chapter stops at verse 33. It goes on to say in the end of the chapter that a man is to love his wife as his own body, right? Because it says no man yet has hated his own body, but we are to give them utmost care. We are to watch over them. We are to make sure they're doing well, just like we do our own body, right? That's the care. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and see that the wife see that she reverence her husband. There's a reverence there. You know, I believe with all my heart that decisions in the home should be discussed. Right? They should be discussed. But at the end, according to God's word, if there would be a difference in opinion, the wife is to submit to the husband's decision. It's a safety. No, I'm not a dictator. I promise. I promise. This is what I have gathered from God's word. And I take it seriously. In something I omitted, it says, so let the wives be to their own husbands in most things. No, it said everything. And sometimes there can be a sense of losing control, I think, for our sisters. But husbands, if you are who God wants you to be, I also think that there's a security there for our wives, because you know what? They know that our hearts are in the right place, and they know that we're searching after God with everything that we are. They know they can trust us. They know that they can trust us. Well, that passage certainly wasn't exhausted, but I need to move on. In the first part of chapter 6, it talks about the children and parent relationships. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, one time, and I'm going to leave names out of this, but we had this is a memory verse at our house for a little bit until our children learned the memory verse. And one of our children was grumbling about doing something. And one of the other children, and they know, but at least I'm not saying their names. One of the other children came up and said, so-and-so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's for you. You know, he got it, right? He got it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Care for your children. Love them. Teach them the things of God. Take it seriously. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Teach them about the Lord. You know, one of the things today that has just completely and totally got distorted. Once again, this is my conclusion from observing and just from the scripture, is the area of discipline. The Bible is clear, and this is one of those passages, provoking our children to wrath. The Bible is clear that we're to love and we're to care for our children. And you know, dads especially, but also moms, if it doesn't grieve you when you need to give one of your children a spanking, maybe you ought to wait a little while. Right? I had to do that to one of mine the other day and almost cried. Oh, it bothered me. I don't enjoy it. Now, there's times that I need to wait because one or all three of them have pushed my buttons. And I need to wait. We're not to provoke our children. But I want to read some verses in Proverbs. The first one is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. It says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Now, we all agreed that the Bible is true. Is that verse true? It's okay. I don't think there's any social services here, right? What the Bible is saying, the Bible never condones abuse, ever. That's where when we're angry, it's not the time. But because of the world's viewpoint, brothers and sisters, we still need to spank our children. We still need to spank our children. You know, I've heard over and over. Well, I tell you, children are different today, apparently, because I hear this. You know, spanking doesn't work for my children. I found it's much better to go make them sit on a timeout on the couch. Maybe. But I'm just saying, the Bible never once talked about a timeout in all my studying. This is the only form of discipline that the Bible has ever referenced. Am I wrong? Brother Tom, am I wrong? Dana, am I wrong? Let's not move away from it. Do it in love, but do it for the child's benefit. In Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. God has an order. Once again, I don't find anywhere in the scripture that the Bible tells me to be my children's buddy. I believe in caring for our children and sitting down when they're struggling and weeping with them and caring deeply for them. But at the end of the day, we were called to be parents. We were called to be parents, never buddies. I believe we need to be careful. I believe there's ditches on both sides. There's the hard, there's the cruel. Beat your kids. It's not what I'm talking about tonight. But neither am I talking about, well, my child doesn't feel like getting a spanking, and so I'm not going to give them one. It might scar them. If that's the case, then the Bible is false. It just is. If you have a pen and paper tonight, I want you to do something for me. I found it interesting when this If not, I will state it out up here. You'll still get it. But according to Scripture, God's order goes something like this. At the top is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A triune God, right? That's the top of the authority chain. I believe according to the Scriptures, I've concluded that next is the Bride of Christ, what we now call the Church. That's the next form of authority. This is God's order. Under the Church, it's the husband or the dad. Under the husband or the dad, it's the wife or the mother. And under the parents, right, it's the children. And I'm appalled that I had to add this one. But under the children, it's animals and the rest of creation, right? That's the order that the Bible teaches. Do you know what the current day world's order is? Your animals or your pets run the home. They're at the top. You don't believe that? I sell puppies. And I'm appalled many times. And try to give instruction when I can. That's not right. We sold a puppy to someone in Chicago, Illinois. But the puppy had his own bedroom with a little door so that when he got tired of people, he could go in there and have alone time. That's messed up. That's messed up. Pets. Pets are even more important than children, right? We take better care of our pets than we do our children, right? I mean, hopefully not we, but the world. This is the world's order. So pets. Under the pets are the children. The children run the home. They certainly run mom and dad. How many of you have been in the grocery store where this child is just owning mom or dad from top to bottom? The children are in charge. And then it's the wife or the mother. Remember, husbands are these fools. They don't know what they're talking about. The feminist movement done this right here. More or less. It done this right here. The wife or the mother is number three. Number four is the husband or the dad. Number five, the church holds no authority in lives of most people today. Let me ask you something. Did the church hold any authority in Ananias and Sapphira's life? I believe it did. Yeah, they lied to God, but they lied to God's servants, didn't they? It cost them their life. And then lastly, in the world's viewpoint, is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. If you wrote that out on a paper, do you see how exactly opposite that is? Do you think it's by accident? I don't. You see, Satan has an agenda. And his agenda is to break up homes. And you know how he does that? He makes dads non-existent in homes. But you see, before dads were non-existent, Jesus Christ was non-existent. And the church was non-existent. Anytime we deviate from the authority that God has set up, we will be deceived. Every time. We're going to have an invitation again this evening. The invitation this evening is simple. Have you found in your heart that you're not content with the order that God has set up? And you are willingly and openly confessing before God this evening that I will submit to the order that you have set up. Mothers, are you not enjoying being moms? Is it a battle? Is it a struggle? God wants you to have joy. It's a worthy calling. Maybe as a couple, it just grates me to submit to the church. It just grates me. I almost can't do it. Do you know that was given for a safety? Submission is a safety. It's not bondage. It's actually freedom. If God touched your heart tonight and you would like to make a commitment before Him, once again, make sure you're serious about it. God takes our commitments seriously. Can we stand and sing our theme song?